Hey, so good afternoon, everyone, and thanks so much for having me. It's quite an honor. I am a colleague of Michael in Michael's subject group. I'm a behavioral economist and social scientist by training, and probably also something like a consumer researcher. This is at least where I spend a lot of time on, and the focus of my work, of my research and teaching and outreach and political advisory is sustainable development. So maybe my talk is a little bit more hopeful than the one we just had now, but it's definitely more micro. And yeah, so bear with me when I, for me, this is actually the first time ever that I looked into kind of more systematically how Christian thought and sustainable development or sustainable consumption are interlinked. And so, as I said, I'm an economist, consumer researcher, but as regards to Christian thought, I am it's probably more anecdotal evidence. Yeah, I mean, I'm a practicing Christian, but I'm not an academic in that field, so please bear with me. Good. I thought I'd start a little bit with a what I called a prelude. Is in the beginning was called hypothesis, but it's not really a hypothesis. It's more like thoughts when I had when I was diving into the topic. So Christian thought and probably most other religious belief system are not just in line, but it's actually highly conducive to a culture of sustainable consumption, fairness, equity, stewardship are absolutely at the core of the idea and the concept of sustainable development. Second, when we look more in practice and how things developed and how this political concept of sustainable development developed, in many countries, the churches and the peace movements, particularly in the 1980s and 90s, were absolutely key drivers for the development of these ideas and of the acceptability and also the attractiveness of things like fair trade or global South justice. And I think that was really a key moment in where then also a little bit later, maybe the churches and the secular forces of the peace movement and the environmental movement worked together on developing a broader societal movement is maybe too much, and at least in the 1990s, but an understanding and acceptability. And then a little bit later, so these are big steps, as you see, when this concept of sustainable consumption, as it's called today, it had several names back then, when it had left its niche, I do also think that faith-inspired values combined with a new strong climate and environmental movement were really important to mainstream the idea and to help develop more sustainable markets. So products and services, and also inspired the supply side to produce a respective offers. So in the 2010s, I think, and this is my very limited knowledge, which covers Germany, German-speaking Europe, and Denmark, where I spent about 20 years. This is probably the decade where the idea of sustainable development really gained traction. And when I also look at which type of and how many different product innovation or service innovation came on the market, it's definitely the 2010s. In 2015, there was UN Sustainable Development Goals that inspired more concrete regulation in different regions of this world. Again, I'm thinking of the European Green Deal, but also the UK has, of course, a long history of a respective regulation. And I think this is also kind of a turning point, because since then, with the 2015 UN Sustainable Development Goals, particularly SDG 12, which is really about sustainable consumption, there was an anchor point in a symbolic way, but also in a very concrete way. And these days, when you see the last 3, 4, 5 years, there's a lot of climate litigation, for instance. And all that can be traced back to the UN Sustainable Development Goals, so the mid-2015s. And when we look at today, it really depends on the sector, whether we look at food or textiles, mobility, investments, the building sector. But the sustainable consumption consumer segment is actually quite relevant. Sometimes it's rather small. When you look at, for instance, mobility, you have between 10 and 15% of the overall market that systematically prefer more sustainable choices. But when you look into food, for instance, also depending on the countries, it's much larger. So in Denmark, for instance, it's about 40% of the market can be labeled sustainable. I mean, I'm very much aware that this needs a much better and much cleaner definition, but this is kind of to get us in on the same page, if you want. Now, also for me, like personally, it's quite interesting because I think I actually have been part of that since probably the 1990s. This is when I started my first own research project, which was then on ethical investment, which was basically had a lot to do with divestment from arms and also from carbon. So this is kind of part of my own journey. And I think this is also why I enjoyed so much preparing this talk. And I also got very much inspired in to do more in this field and more systematically. So talking about definition, what is it when we talk about sustainable consumption? In the early days, it was often called socially responsible. And I picked a really, old definition also to show how many years we're actually discussing this concept, almost 50 years. Social conscious consumers considers the public consequences of private consumption or attempts to use his or her purchasing power to effect change. And many more definitions have been brought forth and the concept has been ever better defined. But basically, I think the core is being aware and trying to avoid negative externalities and also, by the way, internalities. And the core is actually, as I started off, the idea of fairness, of equity, equality. SDG 12, which is dubbed the Sustainable Consumption SDG, is very concrete and it's by far not complete. It basically picked out what was possible back then in 2013-14 when the community prepared this SDG. So this is about the challenge of food waste, which, as we know today, is really one of the very big levers to, as regards carbon mitigation, but also, of course, has a strong social dimension. Energy, the big energy transformation. Many of my colleagues in the subject group of Michael's subject group are absolute experts in that. And also water as another big issue. So these are all environmental issues. But the thing is that sustainable consumption is actually also mainstreamed you can find it horizontally in many of the other SDGs, particularly the social side of responsible consumption and production can be found in other SDGs. So relevant today, and I don't think many people were aware of that, is the attempt to reduce food waste, which is probably, as we know today from the IPCC, as relevant to mitigate carbon as reduction of ruminant meat. If we have a kind of take a more macro look, so there are probably six strategies. I see six strategies for sustainable consumption. First is better. So better consumption and production, more efficient, innovative new products, innovative new production processes that produce less waste, less sufficiency, moderation. This is probably the most difficult one because we human beings are not really open to do anything less. We are probably hardwired to go for more. So that's really, really a hard one. I think it's also a question of how to communicate that and how to kind of promise people in the long run. Third is smarter. So we, luckily, there's wonderful new materials, everything around the bioeconomy that allow us to continue using products and services and spending our money and our free time with things, but much, much less environmental disastrous ones. For the self, doing things ourselves. So that has been called prosumerism, our own production. Do it yourself, from growing your own vegetables in your garden to being an active member in a repair cafe. So this really needs the active input, which means time and effort, skills of the individual. Fifth is circular. So the circular economy, and again, we have a colleague in the group who is an absolute expert in that, is one of the big promises, I think, currently in one of the big alternatives, alternative economies that we should develop much, much more, which is about repair, about zero waste, about using different materials. And it's not just a supply side and an industry thing. It's as much a demand side, a consumer thing. Why? Because it needs human decisions. It needs someone has to bring back the appliances. Someone has to do the composting. So it needs active handling of human beings, of consumers. And so we also sometimes talk about it and say it's the circular society, not just the circular economy. The sixth strategy is together. So sharing resources to make it actually more efficient material use, all kind of collaboration in communities does not automatically, but often lead to a better environmental outcome. And very often, and this is a very nice side effect, also to better social outcomes, because people come together in neighborhoods and streets and do things together, which impacts social cohesion and inclusion. So I'm a behavioral economist, and we like to look at behaviors and drivers of behavior and behavior change. And this is a very long list. I'm not going to go through that in detail, but there